Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Tritton, and we got another big show online for today as well. And a lot to talk about, including regional action for Northwest Missouri State football. Also, soccer concluded their regional play last weekend, and the Bearcat volleyball team moving on to regional play this upcoming week up in Wayne, Nebraska. So a lot of success with the Bearcat athletic programs. And Matt, the first thing we want to talk about is something that is hot off the press here, just released about 15-20 seconds ago, and that's the all MIAA postseason rewards for football.
That's right, and headlining those awards, of course, Northwest Missouri State. Everyone knows that defense stacked every single year, and Elijah Green, a Maryville native, named the MIAA Defensive Player of the Year. Just a tremendous season overall for Elijah. Came out with 11 total sacks on the season. That's 2.5 more than anybody else within the conference. Also leading the way in tackles for a loss, and that's by a wide margin as well. He has 21 TFLs on the season. Second in that category is Zach Howard, his teammate, with 13. So that Bearcat defensive line, year in, year out, is always terrific. We're seeing that reflected once again this season. And it's great to see the coaches continue to honor these guys. That has just been a factory of churning out some great football players and some great defensive linemen here at Northwest Missouri State over the years. So that continues on, and this is the third straight year that Northwest has had the defensive player of the year in the league, going back to Spencer Phillips in 2019, Sam Roberts last season. Of course, 2020, no football, so no award there. But this defensive line just continues to be impressive. And, you know, Elijah's a young man, came here as a linebacker, developed into one of the best defensive linemen in the conference, in the country. So, heck of an honor there for the Bearcats.
He may be the only defensive player of the year that also has a pass reception this year as well, with that fake punt there about two or three games ago where he caught a pass for about 30 yards.
That's right, showing the hands off. He was a running back in high school. He's athletic. Almost took that one for a touchdown, too.
And you look at some other honors for Elijah. This week's MIAA Player of the Week as well to go on the defensive side. So not only does he get the Player of the Week award for the second time this year, but the Defensive Player of the Year. So quite a year and quite a week for Elijah.
Oh, for sure, and it's a well-deserved honor, too. You look about how Northwest finished off the regular season with a win over Emporia State. That was a 27-21 victory. Had to get some defensive stops as that game carried on. Of course, Khalil Smith had this interception that sealed that football game, but this defense has been stellar all season once again, and so great to see these guys getting that recognition.
And you mentioned Zach Howard a little bit earlier, and just now Khalil Smith. They're both joining Elijah on the first team all MIAA. So again, three players from that Bearcat defense on the first team, being named first team on the offensive side, all-purpose back Jamar Mullion.
Yeah, and Jamar, boy, he just continues to find different ways to get involved with the offense. I think he had 51 catches for over 400 yards receiving. He had over 500 yards rushing, I believe, so far on the year, and seven total touchdowns. So any way he can get touches, he is really making the most of it. It's been a key cog offensively for Northwest.
Looking at some of the other big awards from the MIAA for football, the Offensive Player of the Year, not a big surprise there. T.J. Davis, the quarterback at Nebraska Kearney. Special Teams Player of the Year, James Letcher, for kick returning and punt returning with Washburn. Freshman of the Year, Colby Katsas, a wide receiver and punt and kick returner from Pittsburgh State. And the Coach of the Year, Brian Wright from Pittsburgh State. Again, the Gorillas going through the regular season undefeated as they go into the NCAA Division II playoffs.
That's right. Now heading into the postseason, like you mentioned, in the playoffs, it's Northwest Missouri State and Pittsburgh State representing the MIAA, and you'd love to see both with great showings. Might as well see a region championship of all MIAA schools, right? Cool to see Northwest and Pitt meet up one more time this year. It is also announced just earlier this morning that Emporia State also got a bowl, so they're into the postseason in a different format there. But, you know, it's such a good league. You would love to see them go through and beat up on some other conferences and really kind of show what this league's all about.
Well, Northwest will have an opportunity on Saturday as they travel down to Arkadelphia, Arkansas. First meeting ever with Ouachita Baptist in football. And that'll be a fun run. Ouachita Baptist going through the regular season 11-0, and a team that predominantly a very strong running attack. They've got a great running back there in T.J. Cole. So it ought to be a fun matchup. Again, their strength, the running game, the Bearcats' strength defensively, stopping the run.
You know, in recent years, we see so many matchups. It feels like over and over against Harding, and that's that option. And this is going to be a different style of offense, but again, so much predominantly on the ground. How can Northwest come out, slow them down? How do they counter that? What does Northwest do offensively? It's going to be fun to watch this one play out. But as you mentioned, this is an undefeated Ouachita Baptist team. They won the GAC. They're a very good team. So it's going to be interesting to see all this play out.
They got a heck of a scare Saturday in their annual matchup with Henderson State, which is located directly across the street from Ouachita Baptist. Very unusual situation there, but a great rivalry with those two schools and an overtime game and an overtime comeback win for Ouachita.
Yeah, the Battle of the Ravine going the way of Ouachita Baptist with, as you mentioned, Cole, a great running back, kind of carrying the load there the rest of the way as they punched that one in overtime. So be a fun matchup. It'll be interesting to see how Northwest Missouri State goes against a team like this that we've never seen before, and that's the beauty of the players of getting out and stretching out beyond the MIAA, seeing some new venues, some new teams, different styles of play.
Northwest volleyball team coming off the MIAA tournament. Now they move into the Central Region action coming up this week with a trip up to Wayne, Nebraska.
Yeah, the Bearcats fell in the MIAA tournament semifinals, but still did plenty throughout the regular season to get themselves into the NCAA tournament. The Bearcats, the MIAA regular season champs, they'll match up with St. Cloud State. The Bearcats, the 4 seed, St. Cloud, the 5 seed. And this is a matchup, too, in the final, or in the this week's AVCA poll, I should say. St. Cloud's number 7, Northwest is number 12, and so this is just a stacked region that if you can find your way through this, you feel pretty good about getting into the Elite Eight and what you can do from there.
And Northwest Soccer wrapped up their season with a trip to the Central Region action as well up to Bemidji as they ended up losing to Minnesota State in a close one, 3-1 with some PKs there after overtime, finishing up their year 13-5-3, but what a match they had up there against Minnesota State.
Yeah, they pushed the Mavericks all the way to the end, 1-1, as you mentioned, getting through regulation and overtimes. It just wasn't meant to be as, penalty kicks went the way of Minnesota State. But a heck of a season once again. 13 wins for Mark Gordon and his club this season. Reached the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row. I mean, they are right there, ready to knock the door down. Just hope it's coming next season.
One thing to talk about, too, on the men's basketball side of things, Player of the Week awards being announced, and Bennett Sturtz, a true freshman, a 6'4 player out of Liberty. He doesn't apparently know that you're supposed to have a little bit of adjustment period before when you move from high school to college. This week's MIAA Player of the Week, he's off on running with a great start of his college career.
He is, and you know what, a young man like that that's getting that those kind of minutes and that kind of production, you know that he's going in, working hard, listening to what Coach McComb and Coach Schneider are saying in practice, making those adjustments as they continue on. So a solid young man, and great to see him getting that recognition early, but you know that's not going to take an edge off. This team really is a chip on their shoulder. Want to go out and prove what they can do for another season.
Northwest women's basketball team got off to a good start as well with a trip to Kearney with the classic that was hosted by Nebraska Kearney. A couple good wins, and what was really encouraging out that the offense really came to life in those two games.
Boy, blew up on Southwest Minnesota State 95-86. First time scoring in the 90s for quite a few years. First time against a Division II team in a lot of years, too. So great to see that. And funny, the score going into the fourth quarter was 70-58 in favor of Northwest. The next day against Minnesota Crookston, the final score was 70-58. So the defense got to come out and showed itself a little bit more against Crookston, but the Bearcats still hit that 70-point threshold. They get 15 points out of Molly Hartnett, 14 points, 12 rebounds from Kelsey Fields. So this is a team that's showing a lot of different players can step up and score. 20 for Gina Green in that Friday matchup against Southwest Minnesota State. So great to see, and that's really encouraging as we go throughout the rest of the season.
Again, we are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch in Maryville on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back and have more for you right after this on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch, and we're joined by this year's MIAA Defensive Player of the Year, and Elijah Green. Elijah, congratulations on the great honor.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And when did you first learn that you're going to receive this honor? I know officially it came out, about 10 minutes ago to the media anyway. So when did you learn that this was going to be something you were going to receive?
So I figured it out this morning, actually. We had our normal position meetings in the morning, and Coach Wright kind of pulled me aside and let me know. I had kind of known it was going to be a possibility, but I didn't know if it was really going to happen. I thought, you know, Zach had a tremendous year, and that defensive end from Pitt also had a tremendous year as well. And I was like, I think, you know, if either of them got it, I wouldn't be upset. They're both great players. And, you know, just to be able to get it, we were just talking the great names that have won this award, like Sam Roberts, Colin Bevins, you know, Spencer Phillips, guys like that. I'm like, man, my name doesn't even deserve to be with those guys.
I don't know about that at all. And also, not only this particular award for the year, but second time this year you've received the Defensive Player of the Week award.
Yes,
we're getting
sir,
that this
yes,
week
sir.
As well. So not a bad week at all for you here in a couple days anyhow.
Yeah, not a bad week at all. So it's been one of a lot of praise. So hopefully we can, you know, weed through that a little bit and keep the mind to the ground and just focus on what's really ahead of us.
Coming off a good win over Emporia State, as you had a very good game against Emporia as well, and really the whole defense did, I think, against such a fantastic offense that Emporia had and that kind of that fast break offense. How were you guys able to maybe keep your stamina going when I think I've never seen a team where they go that short a time between snaps where you guys really had to be ready snap after snap there.
Yeah, I think our biggest thing going into it, we knew if the best way to eliminate this tempo was to make him go three and out. Because if we can make him go three and out and only take a total of, you know, 20, 30 seconds off of the game clock, that's where it's really going to start to hurt them. They're going to hurt in that time of possession game. If we can get the ball back to our offense and we can just grind out continuous drives, we can really start to do a number on their tempo offense. And I think they kind of showed that. They slowed down their pace a little bit. And when they had some success, they tried to hurry it back up. But, you know, that's kind of the hardest thing to navigate is when it's slow and then it's fast and then it's slow and then it's fast again. So it's like, because you never kind of get a feel of, okay, what are they going to do next?
You know, one of the things that really stood out statistically as they were coming into that game, and they total of 8 sacks on the season until last Saturday, and you guys got 3, I believe, just off the top of my head here. And then also, until the last couple of weeks, he hadn't been Gleason had not been turning it over with interceptions. As he ended, I think he had 3 interceptions on Saturday as well. So that's something else you guys can be proud of too.
Yeah, you know, they had done a great job all year with keeping him clean and him keeping the ball in control of the offense. So. We were just fortunate enough to go out there, you know, if we can get some hits on him, you know, rattle his cage a little bit, that he could be a little careless with the ball. And I think we were in perfect opportunity to break on routes, get balls in the air, and get those balls back to the offense.
And we're also joined now by the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright, with us here on the Coaches Show here. And Rich, we're just talking with Elijah Green, this year's Defensive Player of the Year, and quite an honor for Elijah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just really proud of Elijah, the work he's done. Think it reflects to the investment he put into it. You know, he was a kid that trusted the process. He came to us from Maryville High School as a linebacker, made the transition to defensive line. I remember we were talking this morning. I remember the conversation, you know, about having to move to the front and started inside and moved off of that to the outside. Actually, the first practice he had, he got injured in, and so I don't think he thought that was a great idea. But it was something that worked out for everybody. And you know, the thing that's so cool is to watch his growth, especially in the last 365 days. He was a starter for us a year ago and an effective player, but boy, his game has really flipped his senior season. And you know, he's first in the MIAA in sacks, first in the MIAA in tackles for loss, ranks. I believe 6th nationally in tackles for loss and 7th in sacks. And, you know, that's just an unbelievable achievement, you know, for a team that doesn't blitz a lot.
Yeah, and really when you look at the defensive line overall, just a great performance out of everybody on that defensive line you've got there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's one of those things that, you know, everybody does their part. You know, we with Elijah, Zach, and Jake Fisher – They were all top five in the NIAA in sacks and tackles for loss. And, you know, we talk about everybody doing their job and having it all fit together. And those guys, do, you know, they're unbelievable. And Zach being a first-team kid. And, you know, Zach anchored a lot of double teams for us this year. I mean, everybody knew who he was. And so he got a lot of doubles inside, which allowed Jake and Elijah to do some great things. As I'm sure Elijah will tell you, I mean, it's a team thing. You know, it's not even a, you know, it's a D-line thing, and it's how we work together, and it's when we get singled, you know, we feel like we got to win singles, you know. And so if Zach's the guy that's getting doubled, then we got to win our one-on-ones. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond, you know, so if you look at last weekend, for example, you know, it's the back end getting hands-on. It's level two getting hands-on. It's creating opportunities for us to be relevant in the pass rush. And so it's a defensive effort in totality. So everybody should feel good about that award. And just super proud and excited for Elijah.
You know, you look at the all MIAA teams overall, Northwest well represented. Zach on first team, also Jamar on the offensive side. Jamar Moya, the all-purpose back there. So well represented on the first team. Go down the list here, second, third team, an honorable mention. A lot of guys being recognized here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I felt like our two linebackers both deserve first team. Unfortunately, statistically, just because of what we do defensively, they don't have the tackle numbers that some of the other linebackers have in the MIAA. But it's kind of funny to me when I go to, you know, visit with other coaches before the game. They always bring up Sam Phillips and Isaac Volstead. You know, so I know they have the respect amongst the league, whether the stats hold up to that or not. You know, whatever. Also real happy for Khalil Smith being on the first team. You know, he was another one that is a second-time nominee for that. Obviously, he made the big play on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, Khalil played well all season long, but boy, there wasn't any bigger play at all until that end of the ball game with that big interception there at the end.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was a heck of a catch, and it sealed the deal for us and propelled us into the playoffs, and why we're sitting here talking to you today. So.
Well, let's just talk briefly about Wachita Baptist. Did you have any inkling before the announcement Sunday afternoon that who was the point was going to be? And
absolutely none. As a matter of fact, a lot of the scuttle that I heard was we were going to get shipped out of region and head up north. So, you know, and that was if we were going to get in. You know, that wasn't a done deal. I didn't know for sure until you guys knew. We had heard a lot of rumor and innuendo that we could end up at Mankato and end up coming out of that region a little bit like Kearney did a year ago. But for whatever reason, the committee opted to keep everything the same. And I have a feeling the proximity played a role in that, because you see a lot of first-round matchups that are in-conference matchups. And so going down to Wachita, going down to Arkadelphia, at least we're staying in Little Rock, so at least we're somewhat familiar. We were down in Harding last year, and that's where we stayed. So we've got a little bit of logistics as far as how to do this trip.
Yeah, and again, first meeting ever between Wachita and Northwest. And from what I've been able to gather just early on here, they've got a pretty darn good running attack and a good running back there in T.J. Cole.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They do a great job running the football. You know, it's different. It's different than anything we've played probably since 2017 against Ashland. You know, they do it with big people. They do it out of, you know, multiple personnels. They're not an option team. They're more of a downhill running, off-tackle running style. You know, they run a lot of wildcat and are extremely effective out of it. You know, they'll take the quarterback off the field at times and find a way to pound the rocks. So we're going to have our work cut out for us Saturday.
Elijah, when you're facing a team that you've never seen before, how much fun is it to you, or is it fun, or is it exciting, or just to go up against a different team than what you normally see year after year?
Yeah, I think it's super exciting, you know, to play, you know, those different teams that you've never heard of before. You know, growing up, you know, you always hear of the classic, you know, Northwest Grand Valley State rivalry. And I've always, you know, since a kid, I was like, man, I wonder if they play somebody else. You know, when are they ever going to get somebody else? You know, and I always just think that, and I, you know, teams like this, I'm like, man, this is a cool opportunity for us to play a team we've never played for against, and for them to have the same thing. So I'm super excited, you know, just to get down there and compete against those guys.
And what kind of issues does it take? Again, all coaches are in the same boat in matchups such as this to get a game plan up and ready to go as quickly as you can against a team you never played before.
It's a late Sunday night. You know, the first constraint is, and it's the same for everybody, but, you know, the selection show is later in the day. You know, typically we've already broken down the film and already, you know, gotten into our next opponent. The lack of familiarity, too. I think that you have kind of a foundation of what a team is as long as the staff hasn't changed. You know, so you kind of have a sense of what people are. This is really, you know, taking a blind shot in the dark because, you know, like when we were getting ready to play Emporia, well, I'd watched Emporia for 7 weeks on tape, you know, and hadn't game planned them per se, but had gotten to watch them and see kind of what they did and what they like to do. That's definitely not the case with Wichita. So it's going in blind. It's starting on Sunday night. It's we did some things yesterday. We're gonna make some modifications to it today, and it's just a constant tweak to find the recipe that we like. You know, and that's true both offensively and defensively until Saturday afternoon's kickoff.
How proud are you of this team? Well, you've had you as we talked in the past. It's been playoff mode for you guys for several weeks in a row, just to get to the point where you've got the playoffs and a brand new season starts this week. But how proud are you the way this team reacted to adversity and was able to run through the rest of this season?
I'm extremely proud. I mean, nothing has come easy to this group. You know, you couple the lack of experience we had to start the season with the injuries that we had this fall to our starters, and man, there were certain weeks where everybody's like, who's that, who's that, who's that, and yet we found a way to persevere, and these kids never gave up on our vision and our process, and because of that we played really well down the stretch and have ourselves in an opportunity to try and go make some noise in the playoffs. So, you know, I talked to the team yesterday. We've got to put chapter one, which is, you know, the regular season, to bed. And, you know, it's not very many times in life that the slate gets to get wiped clean. And that's where we start. We're 0-0 today. It's, you know, you're one of the best 28 teams in the country. It's going to go down to 16 after this weekend, and we're just going to see how it advances from there. So I'm proud of the character that these guys showed, the resiliency, because it would have been easy. It would have been easy to succumb to a lot of the negative that was going on, and that you can't do it and you can't do it. Well, and this isn't the year, and this is, you know, they blocked out all the noise and they just continued to win football games, and it was unique and they found a way together.
And Elijah, you might talk about that as well. Just you guys have been under a lot of pressure game in, game out, where essentially it's been, as we mentioned, playoff mode. So you're coming into the actual playoffs now. You guys have been under that type of pressure up to the last several games. Yeah. As you think that might be something that you can kind of build off of coming into this first round game?
Yeah, I think, as you know, our mindset's the exact same as it has been since we played Pitt State. You know, we know we have to win or it's go home, and for that it's absolutely for real now. You know, we don't have a guaranteed game next after this, so we have to come out, we have to play our best. I feel like, you know, both of those losses that we've taken this year, we've learned tremendous just things in those games. You know, what we can't do, what we can't afford to do. You know, when we played UCO, we were just too flat. We didn't have enough energy coming out. When we played Pitt State, we didn't come out in the first half and play well. In the second half, we played phenomenal on both sides of the ball, but it was like, man, if we could have even played three quarters great, we would have walked out of there with a win. So I think we learned some tremendous values from each of those games, and I feel like that's only made us more dangerous as a team now.
Now, one other final question here for you, Elijah, before we let you go. Obviously, Defensive Player of the Year award, a great award. Do you feel like you maybe should have got a little mention on the offensive side for that catch you had, or maybe special teams for that 30-yard reception on that punt play?
Yeah, they probably should have put one in there, like honorary fake guy or something for first team, but that would have been a good one. You know, I try to say some of those wide receivers, I'm like, I average 30 yards a catch at this place. I think I might have got a one-up on you.
Well, I tell you what, you looked like you knew what you're doing on that. There's no doubt about that. How much fun was it for you, Rich, to see that play and see the way that turned out for you there? I know it's something you guys have been working on. Though.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun to get defensive kids involved, and I think it's a way to get kids excited and, you know, get out of the mundane piece of practice. Is, you know, we did the same thing last week with Sam Phillips and, you know, Elijah a little bit early in the season. You know, you give those guys a chance who never touch the ball or very rarely touch the ball to get the ball in their hands and revert back to their high school days. It just adds a little pep to everybody's step.
I tell you what, that catch by Phillips, too, that wasn't an easy catch last week.
No, that was a one-handed catch. I was a little bit surprised that didn't make SportsCenter. I was disappointed on that because that was a heck of a catch and kept the drive alive and got points off of it. So,
all right, well, guys, we'll let you go here. I know there's some other duties here with the media here at the Pizza Ranch on this show, but again, congratulations on a heck of a regular season, and good luck on Saturday. Look forward to it.
Hey, thank you.
Again, that's Rich Wright, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, along with Elijah Green, this year's MIAA Defensive Player of the Year. We'll be back. We got more coming up right after this timeout.
We're trained to be
support for KXCV. KRNW comes from Lost Optometry.
Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, providing local news, sports, and information Monday through Friday, and news updates throughout the day at MarryvilleDailyForum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
A 6'4 freshman, and Bennett, apparently nobody's told you that there's supposed to be an adjustment period between high school and college. You just kind of picked up where you left off in high school these first couple of weeks.
Yep, well, some people didn't see the summer workouts and the fall workouts, so that's where I adjusted a lot, and it helped a lot with Diego and Isaiah, one of the best defenders in the league, carding me during practice, so that helps a lot.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt him. Yep. I think by the time you get into actual competition against other teams, you've gone against the best already,
yep,
haven't you?
Yep.
Now let's just talk a bit about your opening, of course, your first game against West Texas A&M, a number 5 team in the nation, and you open up a lot, 15 points, I believe, in that one. You've been in double figures every game as a Bear, and it just seems like you look at your shooting, assist-wise, doing a great job. Another thing that I know goes a long way with the coaching staff at Northwest is one turnover to this particular point.
Yeah. I mean, I just come in with the mindset to get other players involved, and – yeah, it just helps with when the other team, you know, like with Diego, they focus on Diego a lot, and especially Luke too, and it helps when they don't have a scouting report for me. So far, yeah, for 4 games left, but they will now, and it just helps with that, and yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to change pretty quickly, yeah. I'm pretty sure. And coming off the bench, and you're getting a lot of minutes coming off the bench right now. Do you feel comfortable in the role that they have you at this point?
Yeah, I'm feeling comfortable and just playing with the role they want me to. And they put a lot of faith in me, so yeah, I'm feeling pretty comfortable.
And, of course, all those stats we're talking about are offensive stats, but I know that Ben wouldn't get you out there if you weren't playing a little bit of defense as well. Just kind of talk about what you like to do on the defensive side there and how that plays off on your game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing I have to get better at is defensively. And that's why, defensively. And that's why it helps with Isaiah and Diego giving me pointers during practice and just like things like keeping my hands involved. Boxing out. It's the little things that matter the most.
Again, you're this week's MIAA Player of the Week, so not a bad start to get a weekly award like that in your first couple weeks as a Bearcat.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, it's not just me. My teammates have faith in me, and they're the reason I'm here, so I got to give the credit to him.
What's been the biggest difference between high school and college level that you've seen so far?
So far, it's probably been the physicality. Just like players in high school aren't built as they are here. So it's physicality, but I'm getting used to it each and every game.
I know one of the things that Coach McCollum has talked about is just you're just basketball knowledge and just the fact that you know just kind of an innate sense of the game of basketball. And how much that comes from your father being a high school coach at Liberty? I imagine you've had basketball kind of as part of your life ever since you were born.
Yep, that's right. Basketball's been a part of my life for a while, and just being part of the game growing up, going to his practices, and just growing up with it helps a lot.
And basketball knowledge. And coming out of a very good program at Liberty High School, and through the years, Northwest has had a number of pretty good players have come from that system.
Yeah, I'm used to winning a lot, so coming here, it's not a big change, so that's a big reason why I'm here too.
Yeah, that's just another thing before we let you go. Just I imagine you had a few offers or where you wanted to go. What really stood out for Northwest Missouri State?
Yeah, the biggest thing was it was just close to home, and it felt like family, and the coaching staff, really connected well. And those are probably the three biggest points.
All right. Well, again, great having you on the show here today. It's been a lot of fun to watch you so far, and looking forward to seeing you throughout your entire career.
Appreciate it.
That's Bennett Sturts with us, a 6'4 freshman out of Liberty. This week's MIAA Player of the Week on the men's basketball side of things. We'll be back. We'll have more for you from Pizza Ranch in Maryville right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back inside Pizza Ranch here in Maryville, the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State Volleyball, joined by head coach Amy Wirth, as well as sophomore Abby Brunson. And the Bearcats into the NCAA Central Region Tournament. Congratulations, another year for Northwest Missouri State, sitting at 24-6 overall. And this is a stacked region. Seven of the teams in the top 15 in the AVCA poll. The eighth team is Harding at 24. You kind of look up and down like, there's not an easy road to get through this one, is there?
No, there's not. From the standpoint of what we have to do is just play our best volleyball at the end of the year and put it all out there and see what happens. But it's stacked. So any way you look at it, it's going to be a tough road. And normally we say if you get out of our region, you have a chance to win the national title. And that's a real statement from the standpoint of what we go through.
Abby, we think about what the MIAA schedule has to hold for Northwest Missouri State, but it feels like Coach Wirth is always building up a very tough non-conference to also be ready for this time around. Does that kind of prepare you for, all right, we're going to go into a gym we've never played in, we're going to face some teams that we either haven't seen recently or it's been quite a while, and just play volleyball because we've been in that situation before? The one that comes to mind is the classic you played there in Denver to get things going too early in the year.
Yeah, I think since we started with a really tough couple of matches, like it set us getting us ready for those matches that we were going to face at the end of the year. And of course, like the MIAA is a very, very tough conference, so we're playing somebody difficult every single time. It wasn't an easy road to get here, but I think it prepared us and made us mentally and physically ready to play these tough teams.
Coach, when you look at the region too, it's such a dog-eat-dog, and of course, you're going to get your automatic bids from winning some conference tournament titles. Southwest Minnesota State's, what, number 10 in the country, and they've been in the top eight in the region throughout, and they were booted. Harding slipping in there with that, too.
Yeah, all three AQs were not in the top eight. So for that point, it's really, really hard to stay in when you're below number four. I felt pretty confident about us being number four since we were number four the week before that we were going to stay in that area. But it was really up in the air beyond that from the standpoint of what they were going to, the committee was going to decide.
Well, the Bearcats fall in the semifinals of the MIAA tournament. You would have loved to have run through and get three more wins there, then set yourself up with the AQ. But you at least get one more day to rest, recoup, get everybody's heads right before heading off to go up to Wayne, Nebraska. You kind of find some benefit in that despite the loss on Friday night.
Yeah, we've talked about that, how we got an extra day to rest. So really using that to our benefit. And then being so close to Wayne, we're only 3.5 hours. So we're going to leave on Thursday, even though we play on Friday, we're going to leave on Thursday the day before and have a serve and pass. So getting 3 days of practice in is unheard of at this point in the season. And the tournament is Friday through Sunday, not Thursday through Saturday. So it's a little bit to our advantage that we get another extra day to rest and to practice.
Abby, whenever you think about how the tournament falls MIAA-wise, previous weekend, you knock off Missouri Southern, then you go in against Washburn, who the Bearcats have had their number recently. You can't have a closer four-set match than that. I mean, that was intense volleyball, back and forth. What do you take away from that as a competitor, knowing, all right, we didn't get that win, but we're still playing at a high level now?
Obviously, it sucks to lose to Washburn. I feel like they're usually, like, a big rival for us that we're like, yes, we want to beat them. But honestly, that was, like, one of the best volleyball games that I've been a part of since I've been in college. It was just so competitive and aggressive, and, like, there was really long rallies, and it could have went out either way. But Washburn put up a good fight, and we put up a good fight. So it kind of just came down to certain balls that didn't fall our way.
Coach, resiliency, the name of the game. You get into this time and heading into the postseason, are you still seeing that even in a loss, of battling back from certain points and pushing that into extras?
You got to be resilient, and because we can't take days off, we got to be resilient. Because we do what we do in practice, we got to be resilient. It's kind of a theme from our players' perspective, and just the way that they get pushed. We have to be resilient, and even with the injury we had, you got to be resilient, and the next man's got to come in. And so I think we show that really well throughout our program.
A tough weekend from the standpoint, too, of losing Avery Kemp. Do you have a status update on how she's doing?
Just a knee injury. So we'll know more. She's having imaging done this week.
What impact does Abby being able to slide in and be able to fill some of that role, and just knowing that you have built that depth throughout the season, that you do have that capability of having that next player step up?
Yeah, we had three rotation. We've had three middles that have played this season, so having that depth has been helpful. And Abby's done a great job stepping into the role of being the M1 instead of the M2, and that forces her to go behind a little bit more. And allows her to use her strengths in front as well. And so she's going to do a great job doing that. And then Kate Frakes has stepped in as the M2 and is holding the fort down. You know, she's a freshman, so it just takes a little bit of time to get used to everything that is thrown at her from the standpoint of just new. But she's done a good job taking in stride and holding down the fort.
Abby, for your perspective, you played well throughout the year, an All-MIAA member as announced last Wednesday. Congratulations on that. But for you, the confidence level of stepping in and saying, I can fill this role and have Northwest not miss a beat while Avery's down.
Me and Avery have been pushing each other all season. We have a very healthy relationship of, like, competitors, but, like, friends. Like, we're very, very close. So I knew, like, when she went down that we have been pushing each other all season, and I could step up and fill in those kills that I knew we would be missing with her gone. And, of course, with Kate, she stepped in and she did her job. I know she was pretty nervous, but she did her job at a high level. She got a lot of really good block touches and important kills when we needed them the most. And, like, our little middles were just kind of a family, so, of course, it was upsetting when Avery went down, but we're going to play these next few games for her.
Northwest Missouri State heading into the NCAA Central Region Tournament. That'll be played this upcoming Friday at 5 o'clock against St. Cloud State, a 4-versus-5 matchup. Coach, what do you know about St. Cloud? What are your expectations heading into this matchup?
They have some big hitters from their standpoint of a very complete offense. You know, they don't necessarily dig a lot of balls as much as we do, so they just have a different style. And we're more of a serve and pass team and a defensive team, with obviously some offense included because that's how we're scoring points. But they're heavily an offensive team when it comes to what they do with their first ball side out, and not so much transition because they don't dig a lot of balls, like I said. But just some big hitters that are thinking that they're going to go up and get a swing and get a kill automatically, whereas we like to dig them and transition out of that to get our points. So very different styles. It'll be very interesting to see how that matches up. But I'm excited to get up there and see how we match up against the Northern Sun. We talk about the Northern Sun a lot and how many teams they have in the top 10, and are they the better conference in our region? So that's where I applaud the committee, because they did not match us up with Nebraska Kearney this year. We were the 4 and they were the 5 last week, so it was looking like we were going to play Kearney again. And so I applaud the, you know, how the standings basically came to for us to be able to play someone that I feel like we need to go against. We need to play a Northern Sun team to see how we rank against them.
Northwest Missouri State heading into the NCAA Central Region Tournament. A few more matches, then a chance to punch their ticket into the Elite Eight from here. Before we let you go, Abby, I want to ask really quick, too, with practice and everything, do you guys do anything special for Coach Worth on her birthday?
She's not a big birthday girl, but our team is really big on birthdays, so we'll probably pull something out of our sleeve. We'll see.
Maybe Mark Rosewell will come to practice and sing for her.
Yeah.
He says yes, he will. All right, there we go. Well, happy birthday, Coach.
Thank you.
And also, good luck this weekend heading off to Wayne, Nebraska for a chance for three more matches.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State Head Volleyball Coach Amy Worth and sophomore Abby Brunson joining us. We will take a break and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers has been supporting farmers in Northwest Missouri since 1928 by providing grain merchandising, tire, and agronomy services. More information is at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball now as we're joined by sophomore Kelsey Fields and junior Jana Green. The Bearcats 2-0 over the weekend with wins over Southwest Minnesota State and Minnesota Crookston. Appreciate you two coming on and talking with us, and had to feel pretty good. Jana, we'll start with you. We've talked so many years about, boy, the defense is there, just waiting for that offensive explosion. And then the Bearcats come out with 95 points in the opener against, and it wasn't just like, hey, we're just kind of playing Joe Schmo from, that was a Division II program that's pretty solid too, that had to feel good.
Oh yeah, it definitely did. I mean, one of our focuses this year was to kind of get the offense part down, I mean, and not sleep on the defense, but yeah, we've been working really hard on that, so to come out and like show everybody what we've been working on has been really cool.
So I'm trying to go back through this in my mind, the schedule last year. Southwest Minnesota State was the opener season ago too, right? Mm-hmm. Northwest with a large lead at the end of the first quarter. I think it got up to mid-20s, mm-hmm. and Southwest Minnesota State came back. That had to feel pretty good to go through this basketball game. And, boy, they're kind of right there nipping at our heels. But Northwest made enough shots down the stretch, made enough plays to get this win. Kelsey, what do you take away from that last year to this year of finishing off the Mustangs like that?
Well, I think one thing is, like, that game we did not finish well. And one of our things this year is to finish games. And even in those close situations, when they come back, we just fight back. And so making sure that we don't let them, when they do make a big run, we always make a big run back at them.
So this is your second year playing college basketball. How do you find that gut check? If a big shot's not going down, where do you find a way to make that play? Or is it just a mental thing of, we're not going to allow this to happen?
Yeah, I think part of it for us is our defense really just locking in and not letting them score and get those second chance points, and then rebounding as well, making sure they can't get offensive boards.
Jana, 2-0, Northwest coming off the 70-58 win over Crookston the next night. Defensively, what does it feel like was clicking there in game two? That was a little bit more of a Northwest women's brand of basketball as opposed to the 86 given up the night before.
I think we just took what happened in the first game and kind of went into the second game with it, like knowing, like, okay, well, we need to be more locked in on defense and, like, knowing scout and, like, certain plays and rebounds and stuff. So, like, I mean, I don't think the score, like, reflects, I don't know how much of a defensive game it was, because, like, I think we were up by, like, 20 with, like, 4 minutes left, and they kind of hit some shots. But, yeah, I think we just kind of got back to, like, the bread and butter of the defense in that game.
Well, I feel like there are certain times in years past that maybe that's a 62-58 win for Northwest, but pushing forward, keeping that lead and double figures. For you, the opener, points on 8 of 16 shooting, does it feel like you're kind of getting into your stride right now?
I think so. I mean, I always tell my teammates, like, I'll shoot if I'm open or, like, if it's the right play. Sometimes they see things I don't see. So, I mean, just kind of taking what, like, comes to you, not forcing anything. And no matter what happens, like, guards will find me. I'll find the post. Like, it doesn't really matter who scores, like, as long as we make the right play.
Kelsey, for you, watching an upperclassman, a leader like Jaina go off, and she's always been a defensive stalwart. She's still blocking shots. But stepping up, scoring like that, and leading this team, what's it like for you, a young player, watching Jaina?
It's really good to just see her take the opportunities she gets and not force things, because she is really good at passing it out and making sure that we're getting the good shots. So it's good to see her use our offense, and especially on defense too. So,
well, on the flip side, Jaina watching Kelsey double-double against Crookston, 14 and 12, and a player that really came on as last season went along. What have you seen from her preseason and now the first couple games?
I mean, I think whenever anyone comes in as a freshman, there's always like a level, like kind of like you said, like the gut check, like figuring out where you fit in, and like the like growth from like last year to this year is like already like insane, like the toughness, and like she can go toe-to-toe with anybody in there, and like defensively or offensively, so that's great to see.
Those first two ball games played in Kearney, Nebraska, getting set to go to Hayes this upcoming weekend, Colorado Mesa, Minnesota State. How much right now is scout for Northwest on the opponent, and how much is just worrying about what the Bearcats do?
I'd say most of the time it's, well, Meyer always says, like, it's about, like, what we do and how we do it every day. It's just, like, those kind of habits. I mean, granted, we do still scout, and we know who we're playing, and we know what to expect, but a lot of it's, like, well, if we play the way we know we can, I mean, we can beat anybody.
Are these really great opponents to get you set for whenever the MIAA schedule does roll around? Because I feel like we talk about it, football, volleyball, soccer, everybody. The league is tough, and regardless, whatever sport. Are these good non-conference to kind of set you up for that, Kelsey?
I think these next two games will be really good for us. They're both NCAA tournament teams from last year, and so just going in knowing that we can beat them and compete with them, it'll be good for us going into the conference season.
But you couldn't twist Meyer's arm to see a different city than Kearney and Hayes to start, which you will see later this year anyway.
Yeah, we just wanted to go there twice.
Coach, get us a beach or something next time, right?
Yeah, maybe next year.
Northwest 2-0 on the season. They'll be facing Colorado Mesa and Minnesota State coming up this Friday and Saturday. Jaina, Kelsey, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
That's Northwest Missouri State sophomore Kelsey Fields and junior Jaina Green joining us. We'll take a break. Back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Ziegler Ag Equipment in Maryville, Marshall, and Chillicothe. With a full AgCo lineup, including Fendt, Massey Ferguson, Rogator, Terragator, Sunflower, and more, information on new and used ag equipment is online at ZieglerAg.com.
Support comes from Eckerd's Home Improvement in Stanbury, serving the community more than 50 years. Eckerd's can assist in kitchen and bathroom remodels and offers a variety of tile, hardwood, or carpet options. The Design Center is open Monday through Saturday and is online at eckerdsflooring.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Pizza Ranch, and time to turn our attention to soccer. We have Coach Gordon and Coach Quaid with us, along with, instrumental part of this soccer team as well, and Lily Ellis. And, guys, you're coming off a nice trip up north to Bemidji. It's a little warmer here, even though we had snow, than what you guys had this past weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, they worked pretty tirelessly to get the snow removed, and if you saw the game, you could see the piles around the field. And kickoff, it was 24 with the wind. We played in 9-degree weather,
so. Oh, man.
And heard somebody say they play in shorts. Yes, we'll still play in shorts. So nice and cool up there.
And a tough loss up there, but a heck of a battle you guys had against Minnesota State.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny thing. You know, it goes down in the record books as a draw, a tie. Officially, they advance on penalty kicks. So we are not playing, we lost. Tale of two halves. Didn't think the wind was impacting the game the way it was. We played very, very well the first half, and the second half, they played very well. And stepping into the field, it made a difference, but it's not quite the wind that we're used to here. So I think the wind in combination with the snow and the ice and so forth gave that advantage to the team attacking to the west.
Well, and we've got Coach Quaid here with us. Then talk a little bit about what he's meant to your program.
I've talked about him in the past. When I arrived here, he was finishing up his GA work, agreed to stick around, kind of want to see what was going to happen, did a volunteer assistant for a little bit, and then has come on as our full-time assistant, and brings, a sense of humor. He's kind of my connection to the players sometimes. I think the players need to have that vessel in between the head coach and the players at times, and someone they can confide in. And he does that really well. Does a very, very good job training our goalkeepers. They're always prepared, and it seems like they enjoy their time together. So just brings a good energy to the team, and I know all the girls enjoy having him around.
And Coach, just kind of talk about being a part of the program and the way it's been built here in the last several years. And how much does it mean to you to see the success that this group has had here?
Yeah, before Mark, I was student assistant here, and we really weren't competitive in conference. And I had really no intention of staying around until Mark came, and just the progress that has happened in the past 5 years, four seasons, I'm very lucky to be a part of. And it's funny, I talk to my friends all the time about, you know, what we're doing, and they always respond the same way. This hasn't happened before, has it? I'm like, no, it has not. And just talking with some of the girls, they appreciate what the team has done, especially the past couple of years, but they're hungry for more. They're disappointed. They want to get that first win. They want to go to the Sweet 16, and they Elite Eight all the way up to the chain. Like, they want more, and that I think that's the best part about this growth as a team.
And it really seems like you're building toward that, and that, again, the steps that this team's made this season has been phenomenal as well.
No, absolutely. We might have had, the same record as we did last year?
Half game better with the draw.
Half game better. It doesn't feel like we've made much progress from last year, but we have. We're more competitive, and if Mankato at the time, they were 12th in the country, then we're
pretty close.
Yes.
We're up there, too. We're being competitive with every single team, and we're just looking for that breakthrough game.
Well, you mentioned that you work with the goalkeepers. How much fun has it been to work with Lily here?
Oh, I love it. She makes me a better coach every single day. Being a goalkeeper coach, you have different styles of goalkeepers, and, you know, her and Grace are different, very different in the way they play it. But, you know, my goal is to never make them the same, just take what they have and make that better, and if there's things that they need to work on, then we can work on them. But yeah, she's challenged me for the better.
Lily, how have you challenged him here?
Oh, I don't know. Just trying to, I don't know, think of different drills we can do and kind of have him challenge me as well, and just kind of get better at practice.
You come here from Kearney, Missouri, and just what drew you to this Bearcat program, for coming in here from Kearney?
Well, I originally didn't plan on coming here, but it just kind of happened that I landed here, and I'm really glad I did. I feel like the culture it's amazing to be around the girls who, like he said, want to strive for more. Even though both seasons we've had have been successful, we want to get more and get better in the tournament as well. So I feel like that's something that has definitely kept me here. And, of course, the coaches.
How cold was that as a player last weekend up in Bemidji?
It was really bad, actually. I was struggling to keep warm back there because I don't usually move very much. And it's I mean, all I had was Under Armour on, so it was bad, but I mean, we got through it.
Yeah, I would imagine from a standpoint of position by position, you had the worst position to be out there in that type of weather.
Yeah, it was tough.
And Coach Gordon, what do you see out of Lily that you've really enjoyed watching this year?
Well, some areas we'll work on just in case we have another cold weather game at some point. Some activity that she can do within the run of play. And I'm happy that she's standing back there if she's not busy. That means things are going well.
No doubt.
Kind of just give her some more things for her tool belt to stay warm and be ready. Lily brought an excitement to the team pretty quickly. It was kind of a unique situation, and the fact that we were on her list to, well, I think she said, "I'm coming to Northwest," in the email that I received when everything kind of transpired. But just the trust that she's given myself and Quade, and then just her buy-in and wanting to influence the team as a brand new player, and just the excitement she brings to the position in terms of her saving ability, her sense of humor off the field, the excitement she brings to her teammates. So I know her teammates enjoy her, and they have a lot of fun.
Now, coming off another successful year and a trip to the regional, where do you go from here as far as the offseason? What's the next steps with your program?
You know, we're just trying to roll through the rest of this. You know, we'll have some time where we'll meet with the players individually, try and identify some individual things for players, things that have gone well, things they want to grow in, and then determining, you know, and figuring out our training. You know, we want to look at the spring as that kind of that stepping stone into the next fall. It's always kind of a unique opportunity, and for next year's team to start identifying who they are going to be and who they want to be, and then, you know, we'll have that influx of new players coming in and them embracing the players and bringing them into the culture, and then them adding to who we're going to be to progress.
All right. Well, it's been great having you all on today as well as throughout the season. And I don't know about everybody else here, but I think, Coach, one of the things besides what you do soccer, it's just pure genius what you've come up with for a dessert here with the warm chocolate chip cookie at the bottom and then the soft serve ice cream on the top. That might be your greatest contribution to Northwest Athletics right here.
Well, I know you enjoy it as well. But we just need to get Pizza Ranch to get some hot fudge, and that'll complete it.
I like your thinking. Again, we'll be back, and we've got more coming up on our Coach's Show right after this timeout.
KXCV, KRNW comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the United States Air Force, offering more than 130 career choices, education, benefits, and more. Full-time opportunities are available now. For more information, Technical Sergeant Katrina Smith can be reached at 816-341-8227 or airforce.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specializes in treating the whole family and offer a variety of services, including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Gardner Family Dentistry welcomes new patients. More information at MaryvilleSmiles.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Kodeman in St. Joseph, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More information at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
We're back at Pizza Ranch for the KXCV Kalvin W Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State cross country. We're being joined by cross country coach Wick Cunningham, as well as freshman Ryan Campbell. Wick, we look outside, some snow on the ground. Of course, it's melting awfully fast, but snow on the ground. We're getting set for the region championships coming up this weekend in Joplin, Missouri. What's this like, getting out the coach and kind of getting your team out there ready to go and running in some of this stuff?
Yeah, you know, the nice thing is, since it's that first snow, it's a little novel still. People are a little excited about it. Like you said, it's melting quick, so the weather itself is actually pretty fantastic. Although cool, it's still really nice to run in. But, you know, we're lucky. Some of the schools in our region are running in blizzards right now, so we're a little lucky.
It's resistance training going against the wind in Maryville.
That's
so
right.
That's how you get a look at it. Ryan, but you're from Iowa, correct?
Yes.
So coming down running in some of these conditions isn't anything too crazy, right?
No, I've ran through worse with more snow on the ground. I'll be used to it, I think.
So, and if I read right, I think the forecast setting up for Joplin this weekend, it's supposed to be low 40s, should be sunny. Probably by the time you guys get out there to run, it's probably going to be climbing in the 30s. What are you looking for ideally for you to go out and perform at your best?
Probably like 40, sunny, a little colder. I usually do a little bit better when it's a little brisk and not hot. I don't do well with heat. So I actually kind of like the weather, so I'm kind of alone in that opinion on the team right now. So
it's easier to get yourself probably ready to go when it's warmer out, but it's harder to sustain for such a long time. Wick, how much more goes into, all right, it's a little bit colder out, let's get out, let's get ourselves warm, and maybe take a little bit more time to make sure people are ready?
Yeah, it's really just thinking ahead on it. So a couple things that, you know, we've done is we acknowledge that it's going to be a little colder. That's okay. Body doesn't have to work to cool itself down during the race, but before the race, we got to get warm. So something we've done, we got arm sleeves and gloves for everyone on the team, and those are things that you wear at the start of the race, but maybe after a mile you're like, hey, I'm hot, and you shed them and you're good to go. They're so cheap, we just throw them in the weeds, don't worry about it, guys. Like, it's disposable. You know, this week and last week we've been running outside every day still. We're not changing that up. It's just one of those things that the temperature luckily has been very similar to what it's going to be at race time, and it's like, okay, this is what it's going to feel like. And just acknowledging that, like, when you're on that start line and they make you take off all your clothes and you're staying in there for 2 or 3 minutes, like, you're going to get cold. It's going to be okay. And once the gun goes off, you won't even think about it.
That's exactly right. Just get yourself into the mindset and go. So we're talking Northwest Cross Country here on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV Maryville, KLRN W Chillicothe. The MIAA Championships at the first portion of November. We're coming up on the Region Championships this weekend in Joplin, both of them in Joplin. And Wick, we're also seeing a little bump. We've been used to seeing the men running the 8K is getting set for a 10K this weekend. What's the thought process behind that and getting your guys ready for a little bit more distance?
Yeah, so we don't make those rules. We follow them. So we train for the demands of the event all year long. 8K and 10K physiologically is very, very similar. So we train all year long for the 10K and just mixing a little bit more speed for the 8K, but it's mostly 10K training year-round. And that's what pretty much every cross-country team across the nation is doing, because, you know, you get to the big meet at the end of the year, it's what's out there for us, so we're ready to go for it. I think the hardest thing is kind of working on that mindset, especially for a freshman who's never run it before. It's like, hey, like, it's gonna hurt. We got to work through it. And it's just like a longer sustained hurt this time.
Well, Ryan, for you, when you're getting set, of course, you've been running through quite a few 8Ks this year, and if I'm not mistaken, coming off a PR in the MIAAs, whenever you're getting set now to go just a little bit further, it's not an extreme distance. I'm not saying, all right, you're going from 8K to a half marathon, but still getting set for 6.2 miles coming up this weekend. How does that change the mindset? Wick, kind of talk about the mentality of it all.
Mm-hmm. He was correct. Like, it's really, I think the jump from like high school 5Ks to college 8Ks is going to be worse than the 8K to the 10K, because you're just kind of, you're used to hurting for that long. So I think the extra 2K will not be as bad as we think, but then it's a lot easier said than done when you're out there.
How has it been like for you transitioning, getting into Northwest Missouri State, running against a lot of great runners, not only in practice, but you're going to get some big-time meets here from the Chili Pepper Festival, Platte River Rumble. We had the MIAA Championships a couple weeks ago. How's it been for you transitioning to, there's a lot of great athletes all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like in college, like everyone's good in college, so it's you got to get used to jumping from being towards the top of your races in high school to you're towards the back and you're running faster than you've ever ran before. So it's been a big adjustment, like going from high school to college.
Now that you've seen the course down in Joplin getting set to go back down there this weekend, how much more comforting is that for you? Like, all right, I know what I'm into now.
Yeah, it's so much better to run on a course a second time through because you know what you're expecting, and it's a lot easier to battle through it when you've already gone through it.
Wick, we talk a lot about throughout the year about you talk about those race plans and like, all right, this is what we're going to do, go in and stick to it, women and men's teams. Do things change up at all? Of course, we're seeing the distance go a little bit further, but now it's the region championships. Does anything change in that regard?
Yeah, not necessarily. It's really about getting to that halfway mark where you want to be. So for the men, the halfway mark's extended from 4K to 5K, so it's kind of just delaying the back half of the race, I guess. Race plan is still very similar. Every point there, you're going to make a decision of what pack am I going to run with, what group am I going to fit into. Because after halfway, you just don't move up or down that much. That doesn't mean we need to go hammer our 5K PR to start necessarily, but you know, we got to be aggressively smart, and that's what we've talked about all year. And it's all about that decision making early on and being like, I don't know if I can hold on to this, but I'm gonna give myself a chance.
Ryan, for you, whenever you kind of go through and hitting that nearing that midpoint, as Wick mentioned, kind of picking what pack you're going with, how hard is that to make sure that you're not fizzling out too early, but also making sure that you're not finishing and be like, I could have run harder?
It's very hard, and you really don't know until you hit that point. Like, if you finish and you have something left like that, I feel like that's worse than finishing with nothing left. I'm kind of the guy that will go out really hard and then just kind of hold on and try to finish, but I think next week I'll go out a little more conservative than normal because of the longer distance, of course, but we'll try to finish it through.
Yep, make sure you get to that point too. Coach, for a guy like Ryan coming in, a freshman from Sioux City, Iowa, what is it about him that really draws you to a guy like that makes you want to get him into the program?
Well, his just mentality and attitude is unmatched. It's why a lot of people join our program. It's like, we're just kind of blue-collar hard workers. We're there to get to work every day. We're not worried about what other teams are doing. We're not worried about what anyone else is doing. We're all worried about what are we doing on this day. And that's the attitude that he brings every day. He shows up, works hard, and then he goes home and continues to work hard by, you know, structuring his homework in a way that he doesn't have to stress about it to me, you know, getting consistently good sleep, having good diet. It's just the combination of all that stuff that he brings to the table along with everyone else on the team, and that's the kind of people we draw in, and that's the kind of people we want here.
Northwest Cross Country getting set for the NCAA Central Region Championships in Joplin this weekend. Guys, appreciate the time. Good luck.
Thank you.
That is Ryan Campbell and Wick Cunningham, Northwest Missouri State Cross Country, joining us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show. They will be down in Joplin this Saturday for the NCAA Region Championships. And that's going to wrap things up for us here on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. Appreciate all of our guests for joining us. And our next Bearcat broadcast is coming up on Friday with some Bearcat basketball right here on 90.5 and 88.9. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Trittensing. So long from Pizza Ranch.